إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، فأرحب بكم جميعا أيها الفضلاء. I welcome all of you once again. I want to share with you tonight some beautiful statements of one of our noble scholars, one of our mashayikh. They have great efforts in teaching the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in defending the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is our noble Shaykh Al-Allama Al-Muhaddith Al-Walid Abdul Muhsin Al-Abbad Al-Badr Hafidhahullah. And precisely I'm going to read some beautiful statements in Aqeedah, about the Aqeedah, the Aqeedah Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, from his book قطف الجنى الداني, the explanation of the مقدمة of Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qayrawani. Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qayrawani is one of the great scholars. He was the Imam of al-Malikiyya in his time. He gathered the madhab of Imam Malik. He explained his statements. He has abundance of knowledge. Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qayrawani, Abdullah Abi Muhammad Ibn Abi Zayd. He was known with his great memory. And his books speak for himself, for him. Not only that, this great scholar, Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qayrawani, has disseminated a great deal of knowledge, but also he has refuted the people of bid'ah. He refuted the people of desire with poetry as well. He excelled even in the poetry. And with all of this, subhanAllah, it's amazing. You will say, what these people find time? With all of this, they are known with the ibadah. Constantly in the masjid, following janaiz, visiting the sick, participating in any function the Muslim have. And with all that, how they find time, like Shaykh bin Baz rahimahu ta'ala mentioned, Allah put blessings and barakah in their times. They put blessings and barakah. With all of the books they've written, and the refutations, and the riwayat, and the ahadith that they have memorized, but still they were worshippers. SubhanAllah, they are known with taqwa, with wara. Walhamdulillah. And our noble Shaykh, Al-Allama Al-Muhaddith, Abdul Muhsin, Hafidhahullah, he's still alive. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him sound health. Allow us to continue to benefit from his work. The Shaykh, he was teaching in the Prophet's Masjid over a quarter of a century, almost 30 years teaching the books of Sunnah, Al-Kutub al-Sitta, Imam Bukhari, Sahih al-Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, Al-Tirmidhi, Al-Nasai, Abu Dawood and Ibn Majah. He finished them and he's doing them over again. He finished Al-Bukhari, now he is explain the Muqaddimah of Imam Muslim. Now, 6 days, 6 nights. Every night at the Masjid of the Prophet ﷺ between Maghrib and Isha, except for Thursday night. Alhamdulillah. So, in this Muqaddimah of this great Shaykh, which is the book of Aqeedah, the Muqaddimah of Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qayrawani, the Shaykh عبد المحسن حفظه الله تعالى says, فإن عقيدة أهل السنة والجماعة تمتاز بالصفاء والوضوح والخلو من الغموض والتعقيد. He began by saying that the عقيدة of أهل السنة والجماعة, the creed of those who adhere to the narrations of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, الجماعة, because they are upon the حق, they are upon the truth, their عقيدة, their creed is distinguished with its purity, it is pure, and with its clarity, and it is free from ambiguity and complications. So the عقيدة of أهل السنة والجماعة is clear. It is clear. That's why you find the ulama of أهل السنة, they teach their عقيدة in the masajid. They have books. Somebody wants to talk to them about matters of عقيدة, sit down, let's talk about it. But أهل البدع والأهواء, no, they keep it secret. Only few people should know. They have this secrecy, this ambiguity. But the عقيدة of أهل السنة والجماعة is distinguished with its purity, it's pure, and it's clear, and free from ambiguity and complications. لأنها مستمدة من نصوص الوحي كتاب وسنة وكان عليها سلف الأمة. Because this عقيدة we're learning, I'm just reminding you, alhamdulillah, I'm sure you have heard, alhamdulillah, many talks about the عقيدة of Sunnah wal Jama'ah. But this عقيدة, it is so clear and pure, free from ambiguity and complications, because it is taken from the text of the revelation. That's why. Because it is taken from the text of the revelation, the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also this is the creed that our Salaf al-Salih were upon. This is the creed that the companions were upon. The عقيدة of أهل السنة والجماعة. وهي عقيدة مطابقة للفطرة. Sheikh عبد المحسن حفظه الله, he says, this creed is in agreement with the fitra of the people. Is in agreement with the fitra that every person is born upon. يقبلها العقل السليم. الخالي من أمراض الشبهات. Any sound intellect that is free from doubtful matters will accept it, no doubt. That's why sometimes you talk to the people about the aqeed, they say, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, you're right. Other people want to argue because of the condition of the heart. Because of the condition of the heart. As the ulama, they mention, and from them Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, that the heart is like a vessel. It's a vessel. And whatever people put in it, it takes a room in it. So those people who fill their hearts with doubt, then when the haq comes to them, it's difficult for them to accept it. Because there is no room for it. That's why the ulama, they say, subhanAllah, the qalb, the qalb. There is nothing. Sheikh Muqbil used to always say this. It is very important for the Muslim to take good care of his heart. That's why you find the ulama of Ahlul Sunnah, they refuse to listen to anyone from the people of Ahlul Bid'ah. Even an ayah from the Quran. Not even an ayah? No, not even an ayah. I'm not hearing you. I'm not listening to you. SubhanAllah. قال وذلك بخلاف العقائد الأخرى المتلقات من آراء الرجال وأقوال المتكلمين. And this aqidah is totally different from the different creeds that are taken from the opinions of men. Because people, they are on other creeds, wal'iyadu billah. And those creeds are taken from the opinions of certain men and from statements of others. علم الكلام, the rhetoric. فتجد فيها الغموض والتعقيد والخبط والخلط. Since it is from the work of men, you will find that creed is ambiguous, cannot understand it. It's not clear, it's complicated, it's not simple, it's complicated. Because it is done as random. That's it. Some people put it down. قال وكيف لا يكون الفرق كبيرا والبون شاسعا بين عقيدة نزل بها جبريل من الله إلى رسوله الكريم صلى الله عليه وسلم وبين عقائد متنوعة مختلفة خرج أصحابها المبتدعون لها من الأرض وخلقهم الله من ماء مهين. He said, yes, you got to see this big difference between the aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah and the creeds that are made by men based on the statements and opinions of certain people. That because the aqidah that Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah are upon, it is the aqidah that Jibreel alayhi salam descend with from Allah to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jibreel bring it to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As opposed to the other creeds that oppose the creed of As-Salaf, the creed of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the innovator ones, their aqeedah come from them. Come from them. Look, the aqeedah of the Salaf is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this is the creed of some men, wicked men, who are upon dalala and upon innovations. قال الشيخ حفظه الله فعقيدة أهل السنة والجماعة بدت وظهرت مع بعثة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ونزول الوحي عليه من ربه تعالى. It's very important for us to know and to remember. If we want to talk about our aqeedah, because somebody may come to you and ask you, what is your aqeedah? You say, my aqeedah is the aqeedah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. What can you say about it? And we have to say something about it. So that, because it is distinct, no doubt. But we need to know this thing so we can explain to the people, this is our creed. That's what we believe. And that's why we're holding to this creed, because it started with the bi'tha of the Prophet ﷺ. That's what it started. This is the time when this aqidah started. When the Prophet ﷺ began to call to the deen of Allah. It started when the Prophet ﷺ received revelation from his Lord. وَسَارَ عَلَيْهَا الرَّسُولُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمُ وَأَصْحَابُهُ الْكِرَامُ وَمَنْ تَبِعَهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ. And this is the aqidah that the Messenger of Allah ﷺ was upon. Allahu Akbar. Na'am. This is the aqidah that the Messenger of Allah ﷺ was upon, and his companions, his noble companions, and whoever followed them upon that good. وَالْعَقَائِدُ الْأُخْرَى لَا وُجُودَ لَهَا فِي زَمَنِ النَّبُوَّةِ. As for the other creeds, they were not found in the time of the Prophet ﷺ. If somebody say, oh, they are dir aqidah ash'ari, dir aqidah kada, dir aqidah kada, then you ask them, is this aqidah was in the time of the Prophet ﷺ? No. So what aqidah was in the time of the Prophet ﷺ? That's what we need to hold on to. That was the Prophet ﷺ was upon and his companions. So the different creeds, they didn't exist in the time of the Prophet ﷺ. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ عَلَيْهَا السَّحَابَةُ الْكِرَامُ. And the noble companions who are the best of this nation after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in other narrations in the Sunan said they are the best of any nation after the prophets and the messengers alayhi wassalatu wassalam, they were not upon these different creeds. They were upon the creed that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam received from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. بل قد ولد بعض هذه العقائد في زمان بعض الصحابة. Yes, some of these false creeds and wicked creeds, they appeared in the time of some of the companions. Some companions, they were still alive. They were still alive. وبعضها بعد انقراض عصرهم. Others, false creeds, they appeared in a time when the Sahaba, they were all dead, all gone. رضي الله عنهم وهي من محدثات الأمور التي حذر منها الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. There is a result now. Any aqidah that is not the aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, it is not the aqidah that the Sahaba they were upon, it is considered from محدثات الأمور. It is considered from the newly invented matters that the Prophet ﷺ has warned against. The Prophet ﷺ, he says, وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحْدَثَاتِ الْأُمُورِ, and beware of the newly invented matters. فَإِنَّ كُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ. For indeed, every newly invented matter is an innovation, and every innovation is astray and is misguidance. Another narration that Imam Al-Albani rahimahu ta'ala authenticated, وَكُلُّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ, and every going astray is in a hellfire. ثم قال الشيخ إذا ليس هناك بدعة حسنة كما يدعي أهل البدع. So there is no such thing a good bid'ah, a good innovation in the deen of Allah. The people of bid'ah and innovation, they do that. They say, لا هناك بدعة حسنة كبدعة المولد مثلا. بدعة المولد, the bid'ah of the celebration of the birthday of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Sufis, they do that, and many people, the ignorant Muslims, they follow them on that. They follow them on that. And they say that's a good bid'ah. Why it is a good bid'ah? Because this is the birthday of the Prophet. This is not the birthday of some kafir. This is the birthday of the Prophet, the best of mankind. This is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they start, he has the best lineage, he is this, this is the final Prophet, this is the... No problem, but... So what this has to do with celebrating his birthday? Did the Prophet ﷺ celebrate his? Did the Prophet ﷺ command us? Do we have an ayah or a hadith? Did the companions, his companions celebrate? Any excuse they bring, they say, oh, you guys don't love Muhammad ﷺ. We love him because we celebrate. They said, okay, do they love the Prophet ﷺ more than Abu Bakr and Umar? Or Uthman and Ali? No, they don't. لكن الجهل والعياذ بالله. These are muhdathat. There is no good bid'ah. SubhanAllah, in this affair, the ulama, they mention that some, they went to extreme. They even mention the bid'ah. There is a bid'ah that is wajib. Wajib. And a bid'ah that is mustahab. And a bid'ah that is makruh. And a bid'ah that is halal. And a bid'ah that is haram, yes. And I was listening to one of our mashayikh, I forget his name, and I don't remember all the details, but he explained how, because one person, the one shaykh, they asked him, he said, can you please give us examples, explain to us how bid'ah can be haram, can be halal, can be makruh, can be wajib, can be this and recommended. And he mentioned to them a person smoking cigarettes. Alright? And this person is really addicted to cigarettes. Now, he wants to quit. He said, we see this person. If he wasting his money, because wasting the money was buying cigarettes, and he can give up the cigarettes, and no problem. We said to him, it's wajib upon you to give up cigarettes. Okay, to stop smoking. He said, but if this person, you know, if he, I'm just going to mention these two. If he, he has the means to buy cigarettes, okay? And if he stops smoking, he's going to be very angry and beat up people and have good, bad attitude. They said, we said, it's wajib upon that person to smoke. Because if he don't smoke, he's going to beat up everybody around and curse people. He's going to be... And that was enough. But one thing we know is that every bid'ah, every innovation is dalalah. This is what the Prophet ﷺ said. So when it comes to the deen of Allah, there is no such thing as good innovation. Ahlul bid'ah, they say that so they can pass their innovation, so that the laymen, they can follow them. They say, no, well, there is a bid'ah, good bid'ah. There is nothing wrong with it. Just celebrating the birthday of the Prophet ﷺ. You know, just reading the Quran. and remembering him. And the ulama, they refute them. He says, oh, you have only choose one day or a whole year to read the seerah of the Prophet. The seerah should be, learned and taught and not just in one day. And beside the point, that's a bid'ah, an innovation, wa'iyadu billah. And the ulama, they have many, many work, alhamdulillah, in refuting that dalala and that bid'ah. But if Allah wants good for certain people, they, alhamdulillah, they accept the haqq. Those that Allah didn't want no good for them, you can bring them 1,000 dalil, as Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala, mentioned. He said, if someone really is looking for the haqq, but just upon something else, you bring them one dalil, one proof is enough, and they accept. But if someone is upon batil, you and don't want to really leave it, you bring them, he says, 1,000 dalil, they won't. They will find a way to get rid of every one of them. ثم قال الشيخ حفظه الله. This is very important. I want to pay attention to this statement. This is a beautiful statement of the Shaykh. He said, وليس من المعقول ولا المقبول أن يحجب حق عن الصحابة الكرام رضي الله عنهم وأرضاهم ويدخر لأناس يجيئون بعد أزمانهم فتلك العقائد لو كان شيء منها خيرا لسبق إليه الصحابة ولكنها شر حفظهم الله منه وابتلي به من بعدهم. الله أكبر. I repeat. The Shaykh said, وليس من المعقول ولا المقبول أن يحجب حق عن الصحابة الكرام رضي الله عنهم وارضاهم. He says, it is not even sound intellectually to the intellect. And this is something that cannot be accepted. That are right. That's something that to be true, that the truth to be kept away and concealed from the companions, from the noble companions, ridwanullah alayhim, and then it will be left for people who come after them. No. The haqq, he says, it's not possible. Whether due to the intellect, and it's not acceptable that the truth will be concealed from the companions, ridwanullah alayhim, the noble companions, left for those who will come after them. And then he says, those creeds, meaning the false creeds that come after the Prophet, after the opposed the creed of a Salaf, the creed that the Sahaba, ridwanullah alayhim, they were upon, if any of them was good, the Sahaba will be restored, will be the first one to act upon it. But rather it is an evil. See? He says, rather these false creeds are evil that Allah has saved the companions from and afflicted others who came after them. These false creeds are evil that Allah has protected the companions from. They didn't know these things. The companions didn't know the Aqidah Ash'ariyah. Allah protect them from that. And he afflicted others who came after them. ثم قال الشيخ حفظه الله فمنهج أهل السنة والجماعة في العقيدة اتباع الكتاب والسنة على فهم السلف الصالح. That the manhaj of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah in Aqidah, in the creed. What is their manhaj? What do they follow? What is their methodology? What is the way that they are upon Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah? In Aqidah, in the creed. They follow the book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon the understanding of As-Salaf al-Salih. It's very important, the ulama, they mentioned from the Shaykh bin Baz, Mu'azimin, Shaykh al-Albani, Shaykh Rabi' al-Fawzan, many of our noble mashayikh, they mentioned it's very important to pay attention to this last portion of this statement. عَلَى فَهْمِ السَّلَفِ الصَّالِحِ. Upon the understanding of As-Salaf al-Salih, who are the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, والتابعون وأتباع التابعون. Those generations that are mentioned in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, خير الناس قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم. The best of the people is my generation, and those who come after them, and those who come after them. Our beloved Shaykh Zayd al-Madkhali, حفظه الله, He mentioned that these are our Salaf, the Sahaba and the Tabi'un and Atba' al-Tabi'un, but also included in this term, anyone who come after them. He said, until our time now, and beyond our time, inshallah, anyone who hold on firm to that which they are upon, then he is one of them as well. He's upon the way of As-Salaf al-Salih. So the manhaj of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah in Aqeedah, once again, they follow the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon the understanding of As-Salaf al-Salih. Because you might find in some creeds, yes, they bring ayat from the Quran. They bring ahadith. The same ayat and ahadith that Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah bring, but with which understanding? That's what makes the difference. With their corrupt understanding, instead of holding firm to the understanding of As-Salaf al-Salih. قال الشيخ العلامة المحدث عبد المحسن العباد البدر حفظه الله عقيدة أهل السنة والجماعة مبنية على الدليل من كتاب الله عز وجل وسنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وما كان عليه الصحابة الكرام رضي الله عنهم وأرضاهم رضي الله عنهم وأرضاهم. He says the creed of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, it is built upon the proofs. That's what is the creed is built upon. It's built upon the proof from the Book of Allah and from the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon that which the companions were upon, radiallahu anhum. What the companions understood from this text of the Quran and Sunnah. That's the aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. I want to share with you a beautiful statement of our noble Shaykh, Al-Allama Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullahu ta'ala. He used to always say this, istadilla thumma a'taqid, la ta'taqid, thumma tastadil, fatadil. Beautiful statement. He used to say, istadilla thumma a'taqid. Learn the proof, then believe. Learn the proof, find the proofs, understand them correctly according to the way of the Salaf, then believe. This is what you believe in. He says, don't believe in something to be true and now it's set in your heart. Now you want to try to go and find proofs to support it. You will be astray. You go astray. And that's what Ahlul Bidah, they do. They all go and agree on something. And now how are they going to sell it to the Muslims? How are they going to sell it to the Muslims? Because now they're dealing with Muslims. How are they going to sell it to them? Let's put a hadith here or an ayah over here. Even if that hadith or the ayah, if that hadith maybe is not even sound. Because they says, look, people don't know. But they forget that the ulama, they, subhanAllah, that Allah made it wajib upon them to make clear to the people the deen and to protect the Muslims from the bid'ah and from the mubtadi'ah, from innovations and innovators, from the people of batil and falsehood and hizbiyya. Naam, it's very important. So, qala istadilla thumma taqid. Learn first. This is the aqidah of the Salaf. Why? Qala Allah, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was the Sahaba they were upon. Alhamdulillah. Allahumma ahdini li hadhihi al-aqidah. Oh Allah, make it easy for me to be upon this aqidah. That's it. As you learn and you apply. Then the Shaykh began to mention some adilla. قال الله عز وجل اتبعوا ما أنزل إليكم من ربكم ولا تتبعوا من دونه أولياء قليلا ما تذكرون. Follow. This is an order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فعل أمر. اتبعوا. All of you. As the ulama of tafsir, they says, all of you. Allah is not addressing one people or certain people. اتبعوا. All of you. تبعوا what? Follow what? مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. That which He was revealed to you from your Lord. And what is that which revealed from Allah? The Qur'an and the Sunnah. Meaning we follow the Qur'an and the Sunnah. We follow the Wahi, the revelation. And do not follow anything else other than that. SubhanAllah. تأكيد. It's enough if Allah commands us to follow His book and the Sunnah of His Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everybody understood that we shouldn't follow anything else. But Allah still says, وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا مِن دُونِي أَوْلِيَا. Do not follow anything else. Other than that what Allah has revealed. Another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلَ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ بِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. And this is my path that is straight. Then all of you follow it. Be on it. And do not follow the many other paths, for surely they will take you further away from the path of Allah. They will take you further away from His path. The path of Allah is one, ya akhwan. There is no shortcuts, or there is a path for the Arabs, path for the non-Arabs. There is a path for the rich, a path for the poor and the like. There is only one path. The path of Allah that is straight and lead to His pleasure, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah has commanded all of us to be on it. Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad, rahimahullah, he said, عليك بطريق الهدى. One. ولا تبتئس لقلة السالكين وإياك وطرق الضلالة ولا تغتر لكثرة الهالكين. الفضيل بن عياد رحمه الله تعالى mentioned a statement: be upon the path of guidance. There's only one path, the path of Allah, and do not be discouraged when you see only few people upon it. The people of Haqq, ya akhwan, that are upon Haqq, hum qilla. They are minority amongst the Muslims themselves. The Muslims, they are minority amongst the millal of kufr and shirk. The Muslims, they are minority as opposed to those who are not Muslims. And the Muslims who are upon the aqidah sahiha, upon the sunnah, upon the way of a salaf, upon salafiyyah, they are only minority as opposed to Muslims on so many other stuff. That's why he says, be upon the path of guidance. And the path of guidance is beneficial knowledge. Nobody can be guided without knowledge. Even if you want to drive, you're going from here to Florida. If you don't have no knowledge, you've never been there, how are you going to make it? You just can't. Now we're talking about the path that leads to the Jannah. Now somebody can say, look, I don't need nothing because I've been to Florida many times. But nobody can say, look, I don't need no knowledge. I've been to Jannah many times. أعوذ بالله. ما يقول هذا إلا مجنون. Only a crazy person say he's been to the Jannah many times. So that's why we need to know beneficial knowledge. That's why our noble Shaykh, Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, Hafidhahullah, when he mentioned this ayah, هو الذي أنزل رسوله بالهدى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ. It is He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who sent His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with guidance and the religion of the truth. He says, الْهُدَى هُوَ الْعِلْمُ النَّافِعِ. He says, huda here is beneficial knowledge. You got to know what you're doing if you want to be guided. That's why knowledge is associated with guidance. And ignorance is associated with lust. He says, and deen al-haq, the religion of the truth, هي العمل الصالح, is the righteous actions. ثم قال كلمة جميلة, قال فالعلم النافع المستمد من كتاب الله وصحيح سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم على فهم السلف الصالح يدعوك على الطريق. هذا الذي يدعوك على الطريق, والعمل الصالح يبقيك عليها. He says, only beneficial knowledge that is taken, this is now Sheikh Salih Fawzan, حفظه الله, only beneficial knowledge that is taken from its proper sources, the Book of Allah and the sound sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon the understanding of a salaf al-salih, that's the only thing that's going to put you on the path of Allah. Nothing else. Not your skin, not your nationality, not majority, not your wealth, not your achievement in this life. What's going to put us on the path of Allah? This beneficial knowledge that is taken from this, its proper sources. But some people, they may make it to the path, but they may not stay on it. He says, but righteous actions will keep you on it. Righteous actions will keep you on that path, the path of Allah. So here, Allah is telling us, this is my path that is straight. Therefore follow it, all of you. And do not follow the subul. These are other paths. Because surely they will take you away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وقال تعالى فمن تبع هدايا فلا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so whoever follow my guidance, there is no fear upon them, nor they grieve. There is no fear. قال الشيخ عبد الرزاق حفظه الله تعالى والخوف متعلق بالمستقبل يعني لا يخافون الذي تبع الهدى لا يخاف مما يستقبله من أموره الأخروية ولا يحزن على ما خلف وراءه من المال والبنين. The son of our noble Sheikh عبد المحسن العباد, his son عبد الرزاق حفظهم الله, he says that fear is as here, usually fear is associated with the future. The fear is associated with the fear. Fear is associated with the future. Things that will happen. That's why people, they want to invest money, but they're afraid it might not turn right. See? They want to make a move, but do they grieve? No, they are afraid. It's like, but I'm afraid, man. I want to go, but I'm afraid. So fear is associated with the future. So he said here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he granted security and protection from those who follow his guidance. But they don't have to be afraid of the thing that are waiting for them in the hereafter. Subhanallah. And also they don't grieve, because grief is associated with the past. Something that you have left and you have done. So he says they don't grieve on what? On their family they left behind. A man died, left a wife, left children, especially if they're still young, left the property. No grief, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect them and take care of them. Min tamaratil hidayah. From the fruits, this is one of the many fruits of being righteous and being upon guidance. And nobody can be upon guidance unless if that person is adhering to the path of Allah, adhering to the book of Allah, and the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the understanding of Salaf al-Salih, adhering to the path that the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiyallahu anhum, they were upon. وقال الله تعالى كذلك في سورة طه فمن اتبع هدايا فلا يضل ولا يشقى. سبحان الله. Allah says, whoever follow my guidance will never go astray and will never experience any hardship. Subhanallah. لا ضلال ولا شقاء. People, they don't, nobody wish for this. Nobody wish to be astray and to be lost. People, they want to go straight to the point. Nobody wants to get lost. Nobody is hoping for hardship. As a human, we want everything to be easy. And we ask Allah to make things easy for us. And here is how. Follow the guidance. And this is very important. As we remind in ourselves, we should correct ourselves. Because as you know, once again, we heard this many times, Salafiyya is not just by affiliation. Alhamdulillah that Allah guide us to it. But there is a lot of work to do. Salafiyya is knowledge and actions. When you look at the people who we follow, our Salaf, the Sahaba, look at their achievements. They were few. Now the Muslim, they 1 billion plus. They're in the hand of one little country. One little country, they can do nothing with it. Now, but the Sahaba, they were few, but they achieved a lot. The application of the deen, of the knowledge, being upon guidance. Constantly ask yourself, Ya Abdullah, am I upon guidance? Am I doing what I'm supposed to do? Am I really fulfilling my obligations towards my Lord, towards myself, towards the Book of Allah, Sunnah of His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, my parents, my wife, my children, my neighbors, my friend, my companions, my this, my that? Because we're going to be asked on Yawm al-Qiyamah. فأعد للسؤال جوابا صوابا. So therefore, every one of us has to have ready handy the right answer to that very serious question. Because we're not going to say, let me go back and do it. It's very important. فَمَنِ اتَّبَعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا يَضِلُّ وَلَا يَشْقَى. Whoever follow my guidance, he will never go astray. And he don't have no hardship. The Shaykh mentioned the other ayah in Surah An-Nisa. قال تعالى وما كان لمؤمن ولا مؤمنة إذا قضى الله ورسوله أمرا أن يكون لهم الخيار من أمرهم ومن يعص الله ورسوله فقد ضل ضلالا مبينا. It is not befitting for any believing man or a woman, believing man or believing woman, that when Allah and His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم decreed upon a matter, that believing man and woman, they have a choice. No, they don't have no choice. The believers do not have a choice upon the things that are decreed by Allah, matters that are decreed by Allah or by His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And whoever disobeyed Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam has gone astray in a plain error. Has gone astray. وَقَالَ الله تعالى وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا واتقوا الله إن الله شديد العقاب. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us, and whatsoever the messenger, meaning the messenger of Allah, our beloved messenger Muhammad bin Abdullah صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم, whatever he give you, take it. He command you with, act upon it, apply it. And whatever, of course, in the hadith says, مستطعتم. If I command you with something, do it to the best of your ability. And also, because this is the deen of wasatiyah, the deen of yusr, because this is the religion of yusr, of easiness, alhamdulillah, as we heard throughout this seminar, alhamdulillah, and especially in the two talks of our noble mashayikh, and especially today, alhamdulillah, the Shaykh Arafat al-Muhammadi has elaborated on this wasatiyah in a beautiful way, and brought so many examples that the wasatiyah is the correct Islam. And yes, Islam is a religion of ease. Allah didn't put hardship on the people in that which He has legislated, but in the same way, the easiness of the religion doesn't mean that the people compromise the deen and don't act upon it, and then they say, oh, akhi, the deen is easy. No, this is not how it is to be understood. What it means is that if there is an obligation, and we cannot do it in one way, there is an easiest way that is legislated by Allah. And the mashayikh, they give examples for salat. We don't have a choice in the fard to sit or lay down or stand. No. All of us, we should stand. But for those amongst us who cannot stand, yes, they can sit. As the Prophet ﷺ said to Imran ibn Husayn, Salli qa'iman. Pray standing. But if you can't, pray sitting. If you can't, on your side. So whatever the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam give us, we take it. We act upon it. We apply it. Whatever He forbade us, we stay away from it. And we fear Allah by acting upon His commands. That's what Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala says, taqwa. It's not just always translated as fear Allah. No, it's to have a taqwa of Allah by acting upon His commands and staying away from His prohibition as He legislated subhanahu wa ta'ala. For indeed, Allah is severe in punishment. And the Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Hafidhahullah, he mentioned another proof in Surah An-Nur. فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةً وَيُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Warn those who oppose His command, the command of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that a fitna, they be afflicted by a fitna, by a trial, or a severe punishment will touch them. وفي حديث العرباد بن سارية قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فإنه من يعيش منكم بعدي فسيرى اختلافا كثيرا. After mentioning and quoting this ayat, then the Shaykh Abdul Muhsin حفظه الله, he mentioned a couple of narrations from the Sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. From them is the well-known hadith of Al-Irbad ibn Sariyah, but the Shaykh selected a portion of it. فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ بَعْدِي فَسَيَرَ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. The Prophet ﷺ addressing the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhim, who are upon this aqidah sahiha, upon the sirat of Allah, he says, verily those who will live longer after me shall see a lot of difference. It's not going to be the same. فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الْمَهْدِيِّينَ الرَّاشِدِينَ. So hold on firm to my sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided Khalifa after me. تَمَسَّكُوا بِهَا وَعَدُّوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِدِ. Hold on tight to it. Hold on to it with your molar teeth. Fight on it with your molar teeth. وَيَّاكُمْ وَمُحْدَثَاتِ الْأُمُورِ. And be aware of the newly invented matters, for indeed, فَإِنَّ كُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ دَلَالَةٍ. Every newly invented matter is an innovation, and every innovation is dalalah. It's going astray. وَفِي صَحِيحِ الْبُخَارِ عَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ كُلُّ أُمَّتِي يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَبَى. Then the Shaykh mentioned this hadith that is in Sahih al-Bukhari on the authority of Abi Huraira radiallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, all of my ummah will enter al-Jannah except the one who refused. Subhanallah. قالوا يا رسول الله ومن يأبى. Sahaba, they asked the question, O Messenger of Allah, who would refuse? Who would refuse the Jannah? قال من أطاعني دخل الجنة ومن عصاني فقد أبى. The Prophet ﷺ made it clear how certain people will refuse the Jannah. He says, whoever obey me will enter the Jannah. Obeying the Prophet ﷺ, following the Sunnah, adhering to the Sunnah in all matters. We don't specify in one aspect and neglect the others. If we find ourselves negligent or ignorant, yes, let us be honest with ourselves. I'm ignorant in this field. Yes, I know Arabic, but tafsir, man, I'm still trying to get to it. We cannot just because I know Arabic, I know everything. And that's another extreme that some of the laymen, that we have to have mercy on them. For those who know a little bit, the laymen, they just see somebody give a nice khutbah, oh, he's this, he's that. No, tell them, look, man, slow down. Have mercy on your brother and yourself, man. We have our ulama. I'm not one of them. I'm your brother, mashallah, I learned a little bit, I'm trying to connect you to them. Okay? So don't put me with them. Alright? So, and we check ourselves. How much do I know of the Sunnah? Because the Prophet ﷺ, he says, whoever obey me into the Jannah. Prophet ﷺ, he didn't say whoever have $10 billion into the Jannah, man. For you, me, for example, I'm the first one who's like, man, I'm going to get $10 billion. Prophet ﷺ didn't say, whoever is an Arab only get the Jannah. He didn't say, whoever is born in my time into the Jannah. No. He didn't say, my family only into the Jannah. He says, whoever obey me, whoever, being Arab or non-Arab, black or white, rich or poor, king or slave, in his time, in other time, whoever, what is the condition? Obedience to the Prophet ﷺ. Now, we want to enter the Jannah, alhamdulillah, if you ask any one of us, well, Jannah, Allahu Akbar, ya Sakhi, why are you asking this question? Were you obedient to this, to the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? That's another question that we supposed to always ask ourselves. How much are we obedient to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Wallahi Subhanallah, Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen Rahimahullah, this is our noble Shaykh. When he was addressing matter like this, he says, Subhanallah, Ta'tina awamir kathira wa la nubali biha. This is the Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, he says, Ya Subhanallah, many are the commands of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reach us and we don't pay it no mind. If he said that, what am I going to say? So at least we have to adhere to this. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, وَمَنْ عَصَانِي فَقَدْ أَبَى. And whoever disobey me has indeed refused the Jannah. That's how a person refused the Jannah. جَعَلِ اللَّهُ وَإِيَّاكُمْ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
نعم. وروى البخاري في صحيحه ومسلم في صحيحه عن عابس بن ربيعة عن عمر رضي الله عنه أنه جاء إلى الحجر الأسود فقبله فقال إني لأعلم أنك حجر لا تضر ولا تنفع ولولا أني رأيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقبلك ما قبلتك. شيخ منشن also in this narration in this author that is collected by الإمام البخاري والإمام مسلم رحمهم الله in the Sahih books of Hadith on the authority of Abis ibn Rabi'ah that Umar radiallahu anhu was from Tabi'in that Umar radiallahu anhu he came to Al-Hajar Al-Aswad which is in the Kaaba the cornerstone the black stone he came to it and he kissed it and this Tabi'i heard Umar this great companion say, I really know. I know that you're only a stone. You cannot bring no benefit and repel no harm. Had it not been for the fact that I saw the Prophet ﷺ kissing you, I will never kiss you. SubhanAllah. Adherence to the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Now what is the Muslims from this? Many Muslims go there and kiss everything in the Kaaba. Some even kiss the hands of others who they think they were so fortunate to touch the Kaaba. A man go and touch it, and then those who couldn't, they kiss his hand. Or, yeah, subhanAllah. Some people told me that, you know, they have an officer over there, you know, keeping the order, because Muslims, bin jahl, they fight by the Kaaba. Some people, don't, they stop the tawaf and pushing one another to kiss the black stone, and kissing the black stone is a sunnah. Shaykh bin Baz rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, in this case, if it's crowded and you cannot get to it except by pushing people, harming them, or causing harm to yourself, now it's worse. Women are mixed in there too. He says, stay away. Don't do that. Stay away. And there is that officer over there who keeping order, people want to touch him too. Because he's close to the Kaaba like this. And La'udhu billah. Jahl. People bring scissors, try to take from the Kaaba, what do you call it? Huh? The cloth. People do all crazy things. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. But look at the Umar. He says, I know you're only a stone. I'm kissing you because I saw the Prophet. I'm kissing you, that's it. وروى البخاري في صحيحه ومسلم في صحيحه عن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من أحدث في أمرنا هذا ما ليس منه فهو رد وفي لفظ لمسلم من عمل عملا ليس عليه أمرنا فهو رد. And he mentioned these two narrations. The first one is agreed upon by Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim on the authority of عائشة رضي الله عنها that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says من أحدث. This is the one that is agreed upon. Whoever introduce anything to our matters that is not from it, it is rejected. It is to be rejected. We'll have it rejected. And in another narration that is in Sahih Muslim, on the authority of Aisha as well, radiallahu anha, whoever acts upon does an action that is not in accordance to what we are upon, he has it rejected as well. خَسَارَ عَظِيمًا. A person, his entire life doing something, standing in front of Allah, is all rejected. What is rejected? Salat, dua, fasting, qiyam, I don't know what else, is all rejected. Because it's not in accordance with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Instead of certain people learn, they just do it from their way. Or they just imitate others. You can't do this in the deen of Allah. Because this is the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah didn't leave it for certain people, for the people to find a way to worship Him. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed a book upon the best of mankind and command everyone to follow this man, the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to adhere to the way of his companions. وروى الإمام أحمد وأبو داود وغيرهما واللفظ لأحمد عن معاوية رضي الله عنه قال إن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إن أهل الكتابين افترقوا في دينهم على 72 ملة وإن هذه الأمة ستفترق على 73 ملة يعني الأهواء كلها في النار إلا واحدة وهي الجماعة وفي رواية ما كان على مثل ما أنا عليه وأصحابي. He mentioned this hadith collected by Imam Ahmad and Abu Dawood, and the wardens, and other than them, and the wardens is in Musnad of Imam Ahmad, on the authority of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the people of the book, the two books, the Jews and the Christians, they split in their religion into 72 sects. And this ummah will split into 73 millah, meaning people, ahwa. All of them in the hellfire, except one. And it is the jama'ah, those who hold on firm to the truth. In another narration, the ulama, they says, even though there is some weakness in it, but the difference route into it, like Shaykh Ubaid Hafidhahu Ta'ala mentioned, may strengthen it. It's, they are anyone who hold on firm to what the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is upon his companions. ثم قال فضيلة الشيخ حفظه الله, and we conclude with this, inshaAllah ta'ala, قال وإنما كانت عقيدة أهل السنة والجماعة مبنية على الكتاب والسنة لأن ما يعتقد هو من علم الغيب ولا يمكن معرفة ذلك إلا بالوحي كتابا وسنة. He says to understand why the عقيدة of أهل السنة والجماعة is built upon the book of the Sunnah. Why? Because the affairs of belief, they are from the knowledge of the unseen. The matters of aqidah and belief, they are matters of unseen, of ghaib. And it's impossible for anyone to know that except through what Allah revealed in His book or in the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. مثلا سبحان الله العقيدة نتعلم فيها صفات الله سبحانه وتعالى. Nobody knows. Nobody can affirm to Allah anything or deny without a text from the Quran and the Sunnah. Al-Jannah wal-Nar, Al-Hashr, the resurrection, Al-Sirat, all these things. From ilm al-Ghayb. وما جاء في الكتاب العزيز وثبت في السنة فإن العقل السليم يوافقه ولا يعارضه. He says, anything that comes in the book of Allah, the noble book, Al-Quran, and it is established in the sound sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the sound intellect accepts it, doesn't oppose it. Anyone who have clean intellect, sound intellect that is not mixed and his heart has doubtful matters, and when the haqq come to this person, they have a sound and clean aql and intellect, clean heart, he accepts the truth when it comes to them. Doesn't oppose it. Because they know it is the haqq. وَالْمُعَوَّلْ عَلَيْهِ فِي فَهْمِ النُّصُوصِ مَا كَانَ عَلَيْهِ أَصْحَابُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَمَا جَاءَ عَنْهُمْ مِنَ الْفَهْمِ السَّائِبُ وَالْعِلْمِ النَّافِعِ. نعم. Now yes, the aqidah is taken from the Quran and the Sunnah. Why? Because the aqidah deal with matters of the ghayb, of the unseen. And this aqidah, as Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, he says, al-aqidah la tu'khad min al-manamat. The aqidah is not taken from dreams, like the ghulat of al-Sufiyya, those extreme among the Sufis, that they still say that they have a dream and they build the aqidah on a dream. The aqidah la tu'khad min aadat al-nasi wa taqalidihim. The aqidah is not taken from the traditions of the people and what the customs of the people are upon. Cannot just look, this is what my people are upon, man. I grow up. Some people, when you talk to them, they say, you think all these people are wrong, I think? You're the only one are right? Yes, subhanAllah. Millions. Sometimes you tell them, look, don't listen to this guy. Zakir Naik, for example, or Hamza Yusuf, or Siraj Wahaj, or Yusuf Istis. You gotta be careful of this guy, Yusuf Istis. Okay? He's vicious. May Allah suffice the Muslims from his evil and protect them. Ameen. Now you talk to certain people, they tell you, Yusuf Istis. He's not upon the hell. 1,000 people accept Shahada after one lecture. And that's a fraud, by the way. It's a lie. Our brother, Hafidhahullah Musa Richardson, he's refuting him with the Adillah, with the Dalil, because the ulama of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, when they refute the Haqq. They don't just focus on somebody because of his skin. No, that's what the Ahlul Bid'ah, they do. Yeah, they after me because of me. No, it has nothing to do with you, brother. Has to do what you're saying, what you're putting out there. And supporting it. Not only putting it, because we all make mistakes. If I make a mistake and my brother here or here come and say, Abu Muhammad, you said this and this. Okay. Alhamdulillah, Jazakallah khair. Yes, he was. I'm going to come after you, before you. I'm going to say, Ikhwan, Jazakallah khair. And one of the brothers, may Allah reward him, he points out one of my mistakes. Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khairan. I was wrong. This is what is right. But these people, they support their batil and they want to fight. And then what is the shubha? What is the shubha that they play on the laymen? They're like, look, man, the man is famous. The man is all over. They go to Arab countries, man. The man go to Saudi. And he film right by the masjid and he has crew with him. Nah, Ahlul Batil, the people who want to spread the Batil, they put man, they sponsor. He's going to find a lot of sponsors. If somebody wants to call to Batil, Arab people are ready. They're packed. Yeah, man, here's money. Go. Put that falsehood. But you want to call the Haqq, you have to depend on Allah, man. Don't like, look, I'm about to do some da'wah, Haqq, Salafiyyah. You want to support me, akhi? Akhi, you got to turn to Allah. Tawfiq is from Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is another shubha. They're like, look at them, they have so many followers. Look, this man, you say he's upon bid'ah, upon innovation. You know, look at his YouTubes. 1.7 million hits. Yeah, they are hit too. That's for real. They just don't know. Subhan, hit with the bid'ah, hit with the dalal. We don't want to get hit, man. We just want to learn. We don't want to get hit. Yeah, look at him. He said, you tell them, yeah, it's not about the millions. It's about this. Allah says, Allah dispraised and Allah did not praise the majority in the Quran. Did not. The people of Haqq always upon the Haqq, the minority. And you tell them, look, stay. Close that window, man. Shut down the computer, man. Save your battery. But let's talk now. What this person, he says. Like our brother Musa, he mentioned. He said, this guy is telling the people, you have to take Shahada publicly. It's on his YouTube. When he was in Germany. And they says, big, that some 1,250 people took Shahada after his lecture. Is this? 1,250, subhanAllah. How could be? Because they were all Muslims except for a couple. The audience are Muslims. And even in YouTube, when you see they have Kufi, sister with hijab. And in the end, he told them, he says, you know what? All of you are going to say Shahada after me today. They're Muslims. Stand up and say Shahada. Some people, maybe they couldn't understand. Maybe they were like, why would they say Shahada? Then he's like, tell them that Vogel, that misguided German guy with him, or translate for him, Allah Yahdi, Allah guide him. And he was translating in German. I don't understand German, I just a couple of words, but not in that level. But he, what concerned what Estes was saying. And he's saying, look, and the YouTube is available, alhamdulillah, the clip on YouTube is available. And he's saying to them, look, even if you say the Shahada in the Salat, you're born a Muslim. But if you never said Shahada publicly, at least once, you got to say it publicly. So get up and say Shahada. Now they're like, what? 1,250 people took Shahada after one lecture? That's deception. And it's not even from the Sunnah. Is it from the Sunnah whenever somebody walks Shahada, we bring him in front of the audience? Is it from the Sunnah? No, it's not. Somebody wants to take Shahada, give it to him in a parking lot. Yes, actually, Sheikh Ubaidi said, if somebody says, Ya Akhi, I want to be Muslim, don't make this mistake, tell him, only Tuesday, come on Friday, alright? Why Friday? There's a lot of people, man, shabbat. No, that's not from the Sunnah. Somebody wants to become Muslim, give him the Shahada. That's all you need, tell him, say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Some of them, they already know how to say it. More than that, I have people come to me and they all say, look, I'm a Muslim, alhamdulillah, 2 weeks ago, but I just want to give my Shahada in front of my brothers. So you don't have to do that. You don't have to come in front of the people and say Shahada. That's it. If you said the Shahada, you're Muslim, alhamdulillah, just act upon it. Now you don't have to come and say Shahada in front of your brothers. Just come and join your brothers and apply the meanings of the Shahada. That's what we need to tell them. Anyway, ya Akhwan, this is very important for us to remember. What al-mu'awwal alayhi fi fahm al-nusus ma kana alayhi ashab Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The text of the Quran and the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but how we understand them with the understanding of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because they understood the meanings. For instance, the meanings of the attributes of Allah. They didn't ask how the attributes. Deviant people came after and asked how. Like the person who came to Imam Malik rahimahullah, and he asked him about the istiwa. How is the istiwa? Subhanallah. And Imam Malik ibn Anas rahimahullah, he said to him, al-istiwa'u ma'lum, wal-kayfu majhul, wal-imanu bihi wajib, wal-su'alu anhu bid'ah. And we heard our ulama, they add another thing, وَأَخْرِجُ هَذَا الْمَبْتَدِعِ مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ. The Shaykh didn't mention it, but we heard it from other noble scholars. That when Imam Malik was asked about istiwa of Allah, how? In a narration, he said that Imam Malik was sweating. How would you ask a question like this? Question that none of the Sahaba and the Tabi'un asked about. And then he said to him, istiwa is known. We know that Allah have istiwa, istawa ala al-arsh. But how? It's not known. It's not known to us. Allah didn't tell us. Allah told us that He has istiwa in His book and in the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sifat. Whatever Allah affirmed for Himself, we affirm for Him. Whether in his book or in the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, bila takyif, wala tamthil, wala tashbih, wala ta'til, without asking how are these attributes, without likening them to those of the creation, like the mushabbiha, and without denying them, like the mu'attila, the jahmiya, and the like, and without distorting the meanings, because some the deviant groups, they have different ways. Some of them, they cannot deny an attribute because it's in the Quran. Deny an ayah, yes. But they change the meaning. They said, that's not what it means. They distort the meaning. But Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, حفظهم الله من هذا. They affirm the attributes of Allah in a way that befits His Majesty. Whatever Allah affirmed for Himself in His book, or His Messenger affirmed for Him, they affirm it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without saying how. But this man asked this question, look at the stance of this great Imam. He said to him, Al-Istiwa Ma'loom. Yeah, we know it. We have text about it. That's why we affirm it. But how is not known to us. Believing in istiwa is wajib, is an obligation. Asking about it is an innovation. And in one narration we hear from our noble scholars, he ordered, Imam Malik ordered that man to be kicked out of his majlis. As al-Imam al-Hasan al-Basri, Imam al-Tabi'in, he did the same thing with two men, Amr ibn Ubayd and Wasil ibn Ata. They used to be in his circle of knowledge. They used to be students of knowledge, especially Amr ibn Ubayd. They used to be very good students. But until they wants to be on something that the Sahaba they were not upon. In Mas'ala of Aqeedah. Aqeedah is very important. Na'am, a Salafi can differ with his brother in whatever, something or this or some issue of fiqh, but he cannot differ in Aqeedah. Cannot differ in Aqeedah. So look, we see Salafis, but your Aqeedah Ash'ari, Aqeedah Salafi, doesn't matter, doesn't go together. You cannot have water and fire in the same bucket. Just can't. Okay? But yes, maybe an issue of fiqh, like Sheikh Al-Albani mentioned, like Sheikh Al-Azimi mentioned, Sheikh Al-Albani and Sheikh Ibn Baz, they have some murasalat. Na'am, they have certain things with Sheikh Al-Albani, refute Sheikh Ibn Baz in some issues in the Salat, or Sheikh Ibn Baz refute him in something else, but they are upon the same aqidah, that's why they love each other. That's why, because they have the same manhaj, same aqidah, when Sheikh Ibn Baz received the criticism of Sheikh Al-Albani, with a smile. It's based on knowledge. Sheikh Ibn Baz, you're my brother. Like we say, you're my man. Alright? On our terms. أنت أخي في الله. You have مكانة علمية والحمد لله. But I don't agree with you in this matter. This matter of putting the hands or moving the finger in tajahud or the like, I don't agree with you. Sheikh Ibn Baz, he replied to the same, Alhamdulillah, I looked at your proofs. I don't agree with this proof right here and this. But they're still brothers. They don't boycott one another. No, Ahlul Sunnah, they boycott Ahlul Bid'ah. Ahlul Sunnah do not boycott one another. They differ, but they're still brothers. Like Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah, he differed with another sheikh, I forget his name, about a matter. And then when they left, they still didn't come to an agreement. When Imam al-Shafi'i saw him in the masjid, he held him by the hand. He says, listen, man, just because we differ about that matter, we're still brothers. I know. It's more than that. A man differ with his wife and she has to go. He come back from work, his clothes in the street. Why? Sometimes even they differ about marriage in the dunya. And they are upon aqidah, and they are upon the same aqidah, the same manhaj. What is the problem? I'm gonna talk about myself. I got to be the problem. If I act like that, I got to be the problem. And may Allah have mercy on us. Of course, the Shaykh mentioned a lot of good points, mashallah, like for example, fa'idah thaniya. These are some benefits that the Shaykh he has mentioned before he began to explain the muqaddimah. Very beautiful. That wasatiyat Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah fil Aqeedah bayna firaq al-dalal. That Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they are the moderate group in Aqeedah between the groups of dalal, the sects that are upon falsehood. They are upon falsehood. And he mentioned an example, briefly, that the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this ummah of the Muslims, they are wasat. They are upon moderation between the Jews and the Christians. Look in the prophets. Subhanallah, the Jews, they went to extreme. They denied the prophets. They fought. They even killed what they killed from the prophets. Subhanallah, as Allah tells us in the Quran. These are the Jews. They killed prophets. The Christians, the other extreme. They went to ghulu in Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. They even make him as a god. As God, as Ilah. Likewise, in some rulings, you find the Jews, they, when a woman is getting her menses, they don't eat with her. They separate themselves from her. SubhanAllah. The Christians, doesn't matter, man, the woman is her menses or not. Well, but the Muslims, they apply, they are wasat. Those who follow the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, they are wasat. And Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, he says, al-wasat, da'iman fi khair. And it is protected. He said, even in material things, usually the end, they're the one that, what do you say? They receive the harm. The end of the table, the ends of anything. But the middle is protected. The middle is protected. But here what is, of course, what is meant behind this, the middle course, the haq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq and make us from those who when they listen to the speech, they not only they follow it, because for us we have to think about it again. Some of us we have to go and review the information and digest it and understand it clearly, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us tawfiq to continue to learn from our noble scholars. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to humble us so that we can always constantly refer to the work of our noble scholars so that we continue to benefit from them, because the khair is with them. And we ask Allah for tawfiq, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us ikhlas. And said it is very important. Why we're learning this deen, why we're coming here, and all of these questions, we have to have the right answers. We're learning so we can, alhamdulillah, remove ignorance from ourselves and help others to remove their ignorance, especially those that Allah has made us responsible over them, like our children, our wives, our parents, the people that are close to us. We learn, we make sure they are learning too. We make sure they understand this matter of aqidah. And we break it down to them in the level they can understand. The same way we break down the food for them that they can handle, likewise the knowledge we break down for them. We talk to them in a manner that they understand. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us all beneficial knowledge, and which is coupled with righteous actions. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam taslima kathira.